new here. My name is Aaron. I'm one of the pastors at Church on the Rock. This Homer, my wife's been gone all weekend. If I seem a little incoherent, it's still better than I actually am. This Sunday is I Love Homer Sunday. We've done here at Church on the Rock every year for since we started. We've had a big celebration of missions and outreach locally in our state and around the world, and it's such a kind of a part of our DNA. We love to come alongside and partner with and help raise funds for and engagement with these organizations. But a couple of years ago, we decided we want to put a little more highlight and focus on our local organizations that are having a local impact. And so I think the second or third year that we've done I Love Homer Sunday. So this morning is going to look a little bit different. We're going to do a few things. First of all, I'm going to invite up a panel of people who are working here locally. You're going to hear a little bit from them. And then I'm going to invite up someone who is part of a new work in our area. And then finally, we're going to invite up someone who you are familiar with, a friend of mine, Philip Licht. Is going to be bringing the word this morning and sharing a little bit about Set Free Alaska. So, you ready? Buckle up, click, click, grab your pen and paper. I'm going to invite some people up to the stage as I do. Give them a round of applause. Five. First of all, we have Grace Hagen with Homer Food Pantry. We have Lindsay Collins with, no, sorry. I have Leslie Rohr with Love Inc. I had the wrong name on here. Would you guys welcome up Leslie Rohr? Lindsay almost got to be on stage unprepared. That was close. We have Dennis Weidler with Safe Harbor Broadcasting. We have Arwen Weiser with Safe Families for Children. And then we have Leanne Dash with Water's Edge. There you are. All right. So I think what I'm going to do. I kind of feel like I want to be here, but should I be over here?
No, you should be over there.
They won't be able to see you, and they'll be sad about that. I can't see you as well from here, but they can all see you. You've been with us for a long time. You've been coming down for many years.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so great to have you. So this is Leslie Rohr. Why don't you grab a microphone? This is Leslie Rohr with Love, Inc. Can you just tell us really quickly what Love, Inc. is and what Love, Inc. does?
Love, Inc. is a clearinghouse for we are a church service organization. We work with churches all across the peninsula, across denominational lines, to meet the needs of our families in crisis.
That's great. And you guys have been doing that a long time.
Since 1987.
1987. Wow,
yes.
That's great. That's fantastic. And then this is Arwen Weiser with Safe Families for Children. Can you tell us briefly what Safe Families is?
Safe Families is an organization that is about surrounding families in crisis with caring, compassionate community. We can host children with background-checked families, similar to foster care, but our goal is to reunite families, to protect children in otherwise unsafe conditions and surround that family with community that they might not have.
That's so great. And then this is Dennis Weidler with KHCX, Safe Harbor Broadcasting. Tell us what you do. I mean, the name is kind of indicative, but tell us what you do.
We are Homer's Christian hit radio station. We signed on the air Easter Sunday of this year. We're brand new. And we're serving the residents of Homer and the surrounding communities 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with praise and worship music and local information. And that's our goal.
That's so great. It's been great to watch you in the last few years build that out and then launch. It's been so fun to watch.
It's been exciting.
And then this is Grace Hagen with Food Pantry. Tell us what the Food Pantry does.
The Homer Community Food Pantry provides food and emergency assistance to those in need. So we serve roughly 125 families per week. And in 2022, we served 744 unique families.
Wow, that's great. And then this is Leanne Dash with Water's Edge. Tell us what Water's Edge does.
Okay, so we are your local pregnancy care center, and we provide resources such as free ultrasounds, pregnancy test, diapers, wipes, prenatal vitamins, and we are a voice for the unborn. So we do support life, and we love to reach out to those who are in a place where they're in a crisis and they need to make a decision, and we're just there to support them and love them.
So we'll keep the mic there. Tell me why. Like, why do you love what you do?
I love what I do because it is what God loves. And God loves life. And so we love to be that voice. But also we make a lot of connections with local families. We don't just stop with the ultrasounds and the prenatal care, but there's a lot of families that are struggling. So we provide them with those needs, gas cards, grocery cards, formula. We have a lot of women who come in and they're just in tears because they don't know how they're gonna get that formula for the baby or the diapers or the clothing. And so it's building relationships, and it's just loving on the people that come in. How could you not love that?
Yeah, that's so great. Thank you. Why do you love what you do with Food Pantry?
Yeah, one of the reasons I got involved with the Food Pantry is because it feels like you can literally get to be the hands and feet of Jesus. You know, when they talk about, and Jesus talks about in Matthew 25 about, you know, you fed me and you clothed me and you gave me drink. And it's just a very tangible way on our doorstep in Homer to provide the needs for people around us.
Yeah, that's so great. Food Pantry's been around a long time, too.
Yes.
Yeah. And you've been with Food Pantry for how long?
I've been on the board for 5 years now.
For 5 years, yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Dennis, why are you so crazy passionate about Christian radio?
Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. So that's why we are here today. I've spent the last 25 years in Christian radio, first in Nome, for 18 years, retired to Homer. 6 months into retirement, the Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder and said, excuse me, you're not done yet.
Yeah. You've not been doing retirement well, Dennis. I would say that.
No. In fact, it was this month at a birthday party where my former board members came to Homer and bought me a birthday party out at Land's End. And of course, at that moment, I said, you guys be interested if I formed a Christian radio station here, would you be my board?
Yeah.
And they unanimously said yes. So at that point on, it was in God's hands, and it's just been one miracle after another getting to this point.
Yeah.
And now the work begins.
That's great.
We get to share, and my job is to serve all of these organizations and the church.
Yeah.
With interview programs, and I know Leanne's been on a couple of times, and extend our services to share the voice of Christ in the neighborhood.
That's so great. Thank you for what you do. Arwen, how about you? Why say families? Why did you get involved? What do you love about it?
We all need community. I've been lucky enough to be surrounded by family and friends through like tough times when I've had young children in emergencies. I've had families for my kids to go to when I was unable to care for them, and not everybody has that. We actually had a mother in town recently. She's new to town. Her husband was out of town for work and not able to return. She had two kids and was in labor with her third when we met her. And she had found a place for her children to go while she was in the hospital, which we can't facilitate, but she had found that. But she had no way to get home from the hospital, and like several things. And so Safe Families was able to surround her. We gave her a ride home from the hospital. Someone donated a car seat.
That's so great.
One of our volunteers got wind of it and collected donations from work and went shopping at Walmart. We gave her diapers, we gave her meals, like everything. And then in the coming weeks after that, we had volunteers taking her to her doctor's appointments because her vehicle was not large enough for her and her three kids. So that, and then she ran out of water and we had a volunteer that could bring her water. So like some of those things you might not think of because you have those people in your life, but not everybody does. And I think we need that. And I would just want to help the people that don't have it.
That's so great. Somewhere to turn when you're in crisis and you have no one safe that you can go to. That's so great. Leslie, Why do you love Love Inc. so much?
Well, I needed something to do in my retirement.
Okay, I'm picking up on a theme. Do you call yourself retired? You're one of the hardest working ladies I know.
Yeah, okay. I do what I do because I can pray with my team every single day, and I can pray with every single person that we come in contact with.
Wow.
If anybody noticed, it was a little chilly out last night and this morning.
I did notice.
Yeah, no one deserves to sleep out in the cold. In past 12 months, ending September 30th, we've had 1,671 individuals come through the doors of Love Inc. Of the Kenai Peninsula, many of them from Homer. And we have been able to serve each and every one of those. 862 of those needs were totally met by our church partners, which is pretty awesome. And there's 18 veteran families, four of which are from Homer area or Anchor Point South. And when you think of veterans, what do you think of?
I think of someone in a military uniform.
So do you think about children?
No.
So we serve veteran families that are in crisis. 26 adults and 11 children in those 18 veteran households that we serve. So there is a vast need in our backyard and so many opportunities to serve, and it's a blessing.
Yeah, that's so great. Love Inc. has done such an effective job at connecting with need and then without losing a hold of the church, the local church, and helping the two intersect. That's been so great.
That's what we're here for.
That's right. Let us know how, if someone heard about what you do just now and wanted to know more, wanted to find out how to get involved, how would they do so?
So you can always call our office at 907-262-5140 or go to our website, which is currently having some construction work done on it, but you can still maneuver around it. We are always seeking volunteers. I have some talent ties over on the table, so that people in the Homer area, if you have special gifts and talents that you're able to share, if I know that, then we know who to refer people to.
So those are there at the table.
Yes.
So you guys track with that? A talent tithe means you have, like, I could help someone in this way, I just don't know where the need is. You register through Love Inc. system, and when someone comes through their doors, they do the screening to assure that the need is genuine, and then they would reach out and connect you with that need and give you an opportunity to use your specific gift set to meet that need.
Yeah, it's, and so I'd cool. like to add that we work with every agency here.
Yeah.
And it's just so thrilling to see the body of Christ come together and work for one purpose.
Sure.
I love it.
Thank you for being here, Leslie. How would people connect with Safe Families? What are the different opportunities?
Yeah, basically we need volunteers, whether that's hosting families, which is a big need. We need support for those people, family friends and resource friends. And rather than go into detail with all that, you can connect with me and I can connect you with our Zoom call that kind of explains all the roles that we need to fill. Basically, we need a list of people that we know to call when needs come up. And if you're not on a list, we don't know that you can fill that.
So one of the primary ways is hosting kids in your home. And then a secondary way is to support families hosting kids in their home.
Yes,
yeah, families
correct.
In crisis. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Dennis, how can people connect with KHCX?
Prayer. Please, we need prayer. Yeah. It makes the world a difference. Yeah. We also need volunteers. If you don't want to talk on the radio, that's fine, but you're invited to come up and audition and put you on the air. If you want to work behind the scenes, there's a lot to do.
Yeah.
So there's so much to do just to keep it running and keep it up and going.
Can you tell everyone where your studio is located?
I would love to. I want to thank Alaska Bible Institute, ABI. Our studios are located there. And our transmitter site is at the end of the spit behind South Central Radar.
That's
so
great.
So we're in rent-free at ABI and rent-free at South Central Radar.
Wow.
We could not do this if that were not the case. So the community has really stepped up.
Yeah.
Just in a very big way.
So. Look at you go. It's so great. Grace, how would people participate with the food pantry?
So there's three main ways you can participate. You can volunteer. Dennis made a wonderful video when he was at the food pantry. That's on the website. If you want to come in and volunteer on Monday mornings, there's also things during the week. Also, you could come hang out with me every month or so on the board. We'd love more board members. You can donate food. So at the Homer United Methodist Church, right down at the bottom of the driveway, there's a bin right inside, and there's a free fridge now. So if you make a huge family dinner and you have leftovers, pack it up in some containers. There's people that go 24/7 who just need a meal, and they can get that out of the free fridge. Also, you know, you go shopping, you have extras, you're cleaning out your pantry, cleaning out last year's, you know, freezer or anything, you can drop non-perishables in the donation bin outside the church.
Yeah.
Or on Mondays, you can bring in perishable items. You know, you clean out your freezer, you have all meat, whatever. And then the third is financially. We spend about $15,000 a month on food. And
wow.
So people think mostly it's all donations, and we do get leftovers from all the grocery stores and things in town, but there's just this huge need, and we still are spending money on it, and you can donate financially to help cover that.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing. Leanne, how would people get involved with Water's Edge?
Okay. First of all, I want to thank everybody because last year we put a shout out for nurses, and your church provided too. So I do want to give a big thank you to Annalie Beachy, who she's about to leave to go. She's going to be trained to be our ultrasound tech. Then Nicole Haynes will also follow her in hopefully the next session, but she teaches our newborn care class. So thank you for answering that call. It really is important when God pricks your heart and tells you, you know, to follow through with that place to volunteer. Follow through. You may think that you're not maybe cut out for that, but God does not always call the equipped, but he absolutely equips the called. So.
That's great.
Thank you so much for the answer to that prayer last year, but now we need a building to fit them in.
Oh, yeah.
And so we work in a little bit less than 1,000 square feet, and we have to do some repairs on that building, and then we're also going to do an 1,000 square foot addition. So we do need some people who know some handiwork to help us with a few things in our new building.
Projects, yeah.
Yes. And also we still need advocates. So every time a client comes in, we share the gospel with them. And we need people who just love the Lord. And if you're afraid to share the gospel, it's so easy. And we'll just teach you very quickly how your own testimony is like sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, what he's done in your life and what he can do for them to give hope to the hopeless. And Water's Edge is where hope grows. And so we are having a building fundraiser on Thursday, November 16th at the Homer Theater. We're going to be showing Life Mark. And so invite a friend too. It's not all about the money, but it's about knowing that there's options in adoption.
Yeah.
And so we're going to have some testimonies. And if you want to learn about the ministry in a more detailed, we're going to be doing a meet our staff. Now, our nurses won't be there because they'll be in Texas training. So come and join us for that. It'll be November 16th. Doors open for seating and concessions at 5, and then we'll be sharing from 5 to 6:30 to the ministry, and then we'll be showing Life Mark. So if you want to volunteer, I do have a flyer over there on the movie Life Mark, on our building fundraiser, but also my phone number is on there, and so you can call or text the number that's on that paper. I have a business card there as well, and then if the Lord is pricking your heart, trust me, he will equip you if he's calling you.
Yeah. Thank you, Leanne. Would you guys give it up for our reps this morning? Yes. Yeah, there we go. Thank you all so much. All right, I'll take that one. Another new friend of ours. Would you guys welcome up Jennifer Waller? Hi, Jennifer.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. It's great to have you. Tell us why you're here. What do you do? I've been kind of watching your journey from a distance. Tell us what you're up to, what your ministry is about.
Good morning, Church on the Rock. Wow, Homer sure shows up for church Sunday morning. I love it. My name's Jennifer Waller, born and raised Sterling area, Soldotna area.
Wait, you were born and raised in Sterling?
Well, born in Soldotna, raised in Sterling,
yep. You might be the first person I've met born and raised in Sterling.
That's me.
Sorry, I won't interrupt you again.
Ended up about my sophomore year in high school going down the wrong path with drugs and alcohol, which wound up in a 10-year drug and alcohol addiction. Three inpatient rehabs, overdosed 5 times in the hospital, tried to take my life the last time that I used because I didn't think there was any hope for me. I was raised in the church, so I had all of the head knowledge of the Bible, but I didn't have a personal relationship. That journey from the head to the heart took me 10 years. I was 26 years old. In my third rehab, my husband dropped me off for the last time. We had filled out divorce paperwork at the courthouse. He was gonna take the kids, move back to Ohio, because I was just a hot mess. But I know a God who changes the destiny of not only my life, but of those that he's allowed me to work with. That was 14 years ago that God set me free from drug and alcohol addiction by the grace of God. In the same community that I ran and that I robbed and that I stole in, God sent me back as a minister into our local prisons. I was a female assistant chaplain at Wildwood for 3.5 years. And that's when God laid on my heart, because I would go in to do these Bible studies with the ladies and they'd come in and they'd be like, Jenny, like, I know what you used to do. And I would get to share with them, but that's not who I am anymore. We serve a God that forgives and sets free. My favorite verse is John 8:36, who the Son sets free is free indeed.
Amen.
And that's our theme at Freedom House. So working with these ladies for years, I was 7 years sober when God laid on my heart to start Freedom House in Soldotna, a home for these women to live and get discipled in when they got out of prison, because they were coming back 30 days later and I'd be like, what happened? You were on fire. And they say, well, I had to go back to where I came from. And it was super toxic or abusive or drugs was there. And so God just laid on my heart that, I remember it was February 1st, 2016. In my prayer journal, I just said, I really feel like God wants me to open a home for women. And so I Googled how to form a nonprofit in the state of Alaska. I'm a college dropout. But like our sister said over here, if he calls you to it, he's gonna bring you through it. And so with that, super long story short, miracle after miracle, we had over 500 volunteers come out. We bought a home for $250,000, but it needed $500,000 in renovations. God completed the $500,000 in 4 months, completely without any grants, no government funding. It was the Church of the Lord that showed up. The Army of God showed up. This 5,000 square foot home in Soldotna, we housed 10 women. We're a pretty stringent discipleship program. So they have 12 pages of basically policies and procedures, is a nice way to say rules to follow. We believe in the 5 stay-ins. So when they live with us, they can live with us up to 1 year, but we teach them the 5 stay-ins, and that's the Word of God, prayer, accountability, fellowship. So they have to get plugged into a local church. We don't tell them what church, but a Bible teaching only church, and then service work. And so the whole time they're living with us, that's what we focus on, those 5 stay-ins, because it's proved over and over, my life too. I have some crew up here from Freedom House as well. There's about 10 of us up here, but it's proven that if we stay in those, we stay free and we stay living for God. So God then called a men's house two years later. Again, another miracle, $250,000 house, needed $300,000 in renovations, $500,000. We had no money, and God said, if I call you to it, I'm gonna bring you through it. We opened the men's home about, well, our women's home been open 7 years, men's home about 5 years now. We rotate about 23, 24 through each house. And so our heart and the board's heart and vision is to launch a new home here in Homer. We get a lot of the set free men right now. We currently have 3 graduates from Homer Set Free that are living currently in our Soldotna home. And I like to explain Freedom House as step 3 on the journey to recovery. And so typically if someone calls, I'm addicted to, right now heroin is about 1% of being used. It's 99% fentanyl on the Kenai Peninsula. So someone calls, I'm addicted addicted to fentanyl. We get them into detox. We help with the resources, a local detox. Then they go to an inpatient rehab facility, which would be something like Set Free, Serenity House, Rainforest and Juno. Then Freedom House is step three because we're the sober housing. So they have 30 days to get a job. We help them with mock interviews. We help them write up a resume because typically they're coming from prison. They've got no job history. And so we help them go through hurdles of now transitioning back into the local community. So our heart and our vision, right now we're in the vision casting. We need to see a community rally behind the vision because obviously we're located in Homer. We've got the program. We've got the momentum of it, and we just want to branch out and what God's doing down there, launch it here because the need is obviously great down here as well. And so we would start with the men's home here in Homer. If you're interested in signing up, we need emails right now that says, hey, I'll either pray or I want to be a volunteer. The big two things that we would need to open is what's called a Freedom Friend and a discipleship partner. And so each resident gets assigned a Freedom Friend, and that's basically a man that takes this guy out to coffee, that hangs out with him, goes fishing, someone that actually shows up when they say they're gonna show up, just building healthy relationships. So that's the Freedom Friend piece. And then the discipleship piece, once a week, each resident sits with a volunteer discipleship partner for 1 hour. And our discipleship pastor is actually here, Derek Black. He wrote a 16 week or 20 week curriculum that they walk through. So we have the curriculum already made. And so anyone can come. We do have room for the Spirit to lead and guide, but we walk them through basically Bible basics and how does this apply to me today, struggling. I've lost my family. I've lost my job. I've lost my wife. Basically they come absolutely broken, just like I came, a pile of ashes on June 26, 2009. And God, that's all he needs. That's what we tell him. You lift up that pile of ashes to the Lord and you let him breathe a fresh breath of life into you. And we get the honor to walk alongside them and watch them restore relationships. In the first year we were open, we seen 46 children reunited with their moms. Wow. 46 out of state care, amen, foster care, grandmas raising them. And that was 1 year, and God just is multiplying. And so our hope and dream is that people here want to help disciple these men and get them back into your community, giving back and on fire for the Lord.
My goodness, Jennifer Waller, with that kind of faith, you're gonna get yourself into trouble, I'm telling you right now. Thank you so much for sharing. You're gonna be around after the service. If someone wants to touch base with you, they can touch base over here. Can I pray for you really quickly? God, I thank you so much for Jennifer and the calling. Just the clear evidence of grace on her life. I pray that you would empower her for everything that you've called her to do, her and her team. God, we know that you are the provider. So we ask that you would provide. And I pray that you would lay it on the hearts of people here that you're calling to connect with this ministry, that they would say yes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for sharing. All right. We got one more. But we're going to start with a video. But I want to make sure that after the video plays, when Philip Licht comes up on the stage, make sure you give him just a really semi-embarrassing welcome, okay? A rousing applause. So I'm going to turn it over to the video and then Philip Licht.
Rock bottom. I actually was at rock bottom when I went to Set Free. Started using drugs when I was 15 years old. It got increasingly worse over the next 15 years of my life, resulting in multiple trips to prison, multiple overdoses. I was out on felony bail, facing 20 years for my latest run-in with the law. The judge said something to me that was pretty impactful. She said, I can't even tell if you act like an animal because we cage you, or if we cage you because you act like an animal anymore. It was just never gonna end. I was doomed for a cage or a casket. I realized that I couldn't even stay clean for 24 hours. I could not go one day without using it. And that was 3.5 years ago. We got a hold of Set Free, and I was the second client to arrive. I was so damaged when I got there. I was so damaged. I told them I was broken. They said, "You're not broken, you're damaged." The clinicians there are, they are elite, to say the least. I mean, I didn't really believe it at first, how much they actually cared about me. At the same time, it was like I was not allowed in my daughter's life at all. I was dangerous. And they said that this treatment center is built for fathers to get their kids back. They addressed every problem that I had. It was incredible. I came out of there a whole different human being. By the time I started my OCS case, because of going to Set Free, I was 75% done with it. It was one of those things. I was ready. By the time I got out of there, I was ready to fulfill all the roles in my life of being a parent and being a role model and being a brother and a son. And I had a spiritual awakening while I was there. It hit me like a ton of bricks and it dropped me to my knees, and I realized that God was doing for me everything that I could not do for myself. That the only way I made it there was because of God. The only way that facility was even built was to honor the Lord. You'd be a fool to think it wasn't God's plan. When I went in to Set Free, I had no job, no license, no daughter, no custody, no money, no spiritual foundation, no connection with God, and I have all those things today. I have all those things today. I have full custody of my daughter. I've got about 14 or 15 years of raising her to adulthood. So that's where my future is, and I'm very excited about it. I walked out of there with so many tools, and when I started applying them to my life, it got so good. There's a difference between sobriety and recovery, you know. Sobriety is just putting the plug in the jug, you know. Recovery is learning to be a participant in your own life daily. I couldn't make it one day without using or thinking about drugs or finding ways and means to get more. God removed the obsession. It didn't happen overnight, but it happened. Something shifted to where I wasn't going minute to minute without using, and I was going minute to minute living.
Oh, come on, good morning, good morning. Yeah, praise the Lord. I think I'm gonna leave that stand at that height. Boy, it's great to be here with you this morning. I was gonna be on the panel, but I think Aaron and Drew realized it takes me over 20 minutes to answer one question, so they decided to give me the keynote instead. And I can't think of a better way to declare that Jesus Christ is the Lord, that he is willing, he is able to set the captives free, than that testimony right there. The testimony of the ministries up here, we serve a God who wants to set the captives free, and he's bringing healing, transformation all over the world. Now, we're going to keep it pretty short this morning. Like King Henry VIII told his wives, "I'm not intending on keeping you long," okay? That's a little history joke for you. God's moving all over the world. Now, I was just at the Church on the Rock Palmer Matsu event last week, and I'll tell you, I was so inspired coming out of there about what God is doing all over the place. There is fruit. The fields are ripe for harvest. It's not just out there. It's right here. In Homer, Alaska, even at East End Road. It's like the scripture says, could anything good come out of East? Oh, wait, I think that was Nazareth. Oh, we are so excited. The people out there hurting and they're longing for hope. People today are longing for hope. And we have that hope, right? Now, as you're going to hear next week from the global missions, we've heard this week from some local ministries, and you might be asking yourself, what's my part in all this? Where do I fit in? At times you might even feel guilty, like you're not called to be on mission, or somehow what you're doing in the normal day-to-day is not to that level. And I want to tell you, Lauren Cunningham, you might have heard of him. He passed on, went to heaven a few weeks ago, and he was the founder of a missions organization, maybe one of the biggest, if not the biggest, in the history of our world, called YWAM. And he used to say, if you're a Christian, you are either a missionary or you're a mission field.
And I just like to say it like this. We're not all called to be missionaries in the traditional sense that we might think of a missionary, but we are all called to be on mission. We may not all be gifted as evangelists, but we are all called to be his witnesses. So I want you to repeat after me this morning. I am called to be on mission. I am called to be his witness. See, there you have it. That's my whole sermon. You already got it. We're done. Let's go to lunch. We are called to be witnesses. The truth is, some will go and bring the good news, but most of us are called to stay. And as we go, bring the good news. As you go to your job, bring the good news. As you go to your kids' school events, it's through our lives, through our actions, through our words that we proclaim the good news of Jesus, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. We are gifted all in unique ways to bring the kingdom and influence in the world all around us. The harvest is not only ripe out there, it's ripe here in Homer, Alaska. Now, in Acts, in the first chapter, after Jesus is raised from the dead, he's with his disciples for about 40 days, and he's teaching them. And I think we could all understand, boy, the last words that Jesus spoke to us while on this earth, they're pretty important, aren't they? And one of the things we see in verse 5, he says to them, you're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I think a lot of people get caught up in debate on what this means. I want to focus on one thing I think we can all agree upon here. Now, they're talking with him. They want to know about the kingdom of Israel. When is it going to be restored? They're essentially, what they're asking is, okay, now you're raised from the dead. Are we going to kick some Roman butt? Are you going to set up your kingdom and your power? Are you going to use the power to set us free from this captivity? And he says, look, it's not for you to know the time, and you don't get it. I am going to endue you with power for a different purpose. And he says in verse 8, he says, the Spirit will come upon you. You will receive power to be my witness. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is so that we can have power to be his witness. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the uttermost parts of the earth. And I know we don't call Homer the end of the road anymore, but we're out there. Alaska's out there in the end of the earth, right? We are called to be his witness. We have been given this incredible gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. He brings us comfort. He guides us. He does all these amazing things for us. And the Spirit himself is there to bring glory and to be a witness, to testify of Jesus. And he lives inside of us, compelling us to do the same. Now, let me look at this word for a minute, to be a witness. It's defined in three kind of general ways in its usage. First, in a legal sense, to bring evidence or to testify. Second, in a historical sense, like I'm a witness of what I have seen, what I've heard, what I have experienced. And third, in a moral sense, is someone who's actually laying down their very life for the sake of the gospel as a martyr. The Greek word actually is martus, which is where we get the word martyr. To be a witness means to lay down your life for Jesus, to testify of him, to witness of what you've seen and heard. And there's a few examples. First, in John 4, remember the woman at the well. Jesus ministers to her. He shares things about her that he could not have known. And she goes about all the community telling, there was this man, he told me everything that I knew. Could he be the Messiah? And the scripture says that many believed because of the woman's witness, because of her martureho, which is the verb sense of that word. It's used in those two forms over 100 times in the New Testament. We see it again in Acts 22. Paul was blinded, and he's testifying of this experience that he had. He said, this angel came, and the angel stood next to me. And the angel gave him this call of what he was going to do, and he opened his eyes, and this is what he says. He says, Paul, you will be a witness to all the people of what you've seen, what you have heard. Paul was called to be a witness. Now, a few months ago, my son, Braden, and I, we were driving down Kinnick Goose Bay in Wasilla. We were stopped at an intersection. We were going fishing, which is where I spend most of my time with Jesus. And this truck comes racing through the intersection. I see his sparks flying. There's two vehicles chasing this truck. And I had to take a second glance. I'm like, am I seeing what I think I'm seeing? The truck had no tire. Not only did it have no tire, it had no rim. The truck was driving down the road, turning this corner really fast on its axle, being chased by two vehicles. I stared at my son. Did you see what I just saw? And I'll tell you, that's something you don't see every day. That was something unique. And it was so unique and so interesting that I've told several people about that. And here I am, months later, telling you this morning. I was a witness. I was there. I saw firsthand. I could have even went to court and testified about what I saw. That's what it means to be a witness. We tell of what we've seen, heard, or experienced. This video that we saw before I came up here, Adam was testifying about what Jesus had done in his life. And we heard it from one of the ladies up here. It's the simplicity of preaching the gospel. I tell you about what God has done for me. Just like the disciples thousands of years ago, just like Paul, he is endued with power because of what Jesus has done in his life. And he has authority to preach the good news through the experience that God has done in him. Now we're going to take a look here at Luke chapter 8 this morning. And if you have your Bible, you can turn there with me. You can scroll there with me if you have your phone. And this is a pretty familiar passage, but it's a great example of what it means to be a witness and what happens when we come into an encounter with the God of the universe. I want to start in verse 22. Jesus says to his disciples, Luke 8, chapter 8, verse 22. Jesus says, let's go over to the other side. And they go across the lake. You remember the passage, the storm comes up. Jesus rebukes the storm. The disciples marvel. They say, even the wind and the waves, even the natural elements obey him. They get to the other side, and I want to start reading together in verse 27. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but he lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and he fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me. For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken the chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. So we know this next part. Jesus casts out the demon. The demon goes into the pigs, and the pigs go into the water, and they drown. And let's pick it back up at verse 35. The people, this is like a truck driving down the road on its rim. You don't see this every day. They come out to see what's going on. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed in his right mind. They were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. And all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and he left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, return home and tell how much God has done for you. In Mark 5, the author says it like this. Jesus did not let him go, but he said to him, go home. Go to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went and he told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. Now, there's a few incredible things in this story that I want to point out to us this morning. First, in verse 22, Jesus says, let's go to the other side of the lake. Then in verse 37, after the bulk of the story takes place, they ask him to leave and he gets in the boat and he left. It's the only thing he did there. The only thing he did. He went all the way across. He risked his life. He risked the life of his disciples for one person. Was this person rich and influential? Did he have something to give Jesus? No. He was a homeless man, an outcast, someone demon-possessed, tortured, someone today we would consider to be severely mentally ill. Jesus went out of his way to set the one free. Now, there's a couple truths here that are so important for us to understand. They're like the lens or the perspective, the context that helps us as we want to go and be his witnesses. First of all, Jesus cares for and loves every one of his creation. There is none too far that he does not desire to reach out to them. They are his children. It doesn't matter how damaged, horrible, ugly, oppressed we are. We are the children of the Most High God. We are image bearers of the God of the universe. Even the people sometimes that we judge and avoid, they are his children. He cares deeply for them. The love of God compels us to go and to help them. It's the love that drives us. And then Jesus not only cares, but he has the power, he has the will, he has the ability to make a difference. There's more going on here than just this one man. He rebukes that storm, proving that he is Lord over all creation. He rebukes those demons, proving that he is Lord over all of the spiritual realm. Jesus has the power over the natural, over the supernatural. He doesn't just have the care and the love to set the captives free. He has the power and the ability to make it happen. His beliefs are paramount to us being witnesses. What else would compel us other than his love? And if we didn't have the ability to see captives set free, why would we bother, right? Now, this story represents probably one of the most worst potential cases we could think of. Possessed by demons, full of shame, naked, tormented, homeless, living in the tombs, dangerous. That's the before picture. You saw the picture of Adam up here, Adam's before picture. Now, what does it look like after? After the encounter with Jesus, here we find him clothed in his right mind, sitting at Jesus' feet. He experienced a salvation that only Jesus can bring. Something was tangibly different. Now, there's four responses to salvation that we see in this story when we have an encounter with Jesus. Number one, he was clothed in his right mind. Jesus touched him in his place of need. He brought healing, deliverance, freedom, etc. Now, you might not be the naked in the tombs kind of person. And maybe you are. I don't know. Maybe it's depression, anxiety, addiction, overeating, gossip. We all have our scars, right? We all have our areas the enemy has used to attack us. And whatever it is, when we come into an encounter with Jesus, his desire is to meet you right in that area of need. Number two, we find him sitting at Jesus' feet. Our encounter with Jesus should lead us into the place of worship. There should be an overflow of love, of gratitude and praise for what he's done. We see in Mark chapter 3, when Jesus was on the mountain, he calls his disciples to him. It says, first he called them to be with him and then to go. We are first human beings before we are human doings. It is sitting at his feet that empowers us to go and bring the good news. It is being with him that we get filled so that we have something to pour out. Number three, he begged Jesus to go with him. When we're transformed by God's Spirit, there's something in us that should want to follow him, to go wherever he goes, to obey his voice, to obey his word, to follow him. And he said, Jesus, I want to be a missionary to the nations. I want to follow you. And Jesus told him, no, I want you to stay. You are going to be on mission. And when Jesus told him to go, he was obedient. This is number four. He went home and he told others what Jesus had done for him. He wasn't called to follow him to the nations. He was called to bring the light of the gospel to his home where God was. He had an experience to share. He was now a witness of what God had done for him. I don't know how to explain it, but I was blind and now I can see. He told me everything about myself. How could he have known that? He raised my son from the dead. He healed me. He healed my marriage. He freed me from addiction. Jesus encountered me, and now I must tell others about it. I wonder, do you think it was easy for that man? After all, he was the only one in his town. Everyone else had rejected Jesus, and he was known as the crazy guy, the naked one in the tombs, but he went. He was obedient to tell of the love of God. Final thing I want to point out to us today, being God's witness is not always easy, comfortable, or convenient. Your yes to Jesus will gain you everything, and it will cost you something. This other aspect of the definition of this word, it's the martus, it's the laying down our life for him. Now, it's unlikely for anyone here in our current situation that anyone would literally give their life for Jesus, but it's not impossible. It's more likely to us that we would be called to lay down our life every day for him and for those who are around us. 2018, God made it clear to us he was calling Set Free to be a witness in Homer, to testify of Jesus' desire to set the captives free. And we began this journey in 2019 and preparations, and I'll tell you, I was fired up. I ran full steam into that year with hope and joy and earnestly desiring what God was going to do here. I had over 30 trips to Homer that year in 19. Maybe about 3 days each, I spent over 3 months here. 3 months away from my family, and a lot of it was a fight. Many of you were part of that battle. I was working hard, testifying before the city council, listening to angry neighbors in the community, doing everything I could to be obedient to what God was leading me to do. And honestly, at times doing everything I could to be kind and loving and gracious. People were speaking negatively about us and about me personally. Early this summer, after watching my kids pray for 2 years for my son's dog, Caspian, he died. Now, this is a first world kind of problem, but it hurt. Later in that summer, my aunt had been battling a rare brain tumor for several months, and my mom called me on the phone in August crying, said, "Your aunt has died." I drive over to my mom's house, I give her a hug, we sit down, and my wife calls me on the phone, and she's sobbing. She just got the test results from her doctor saying they had found cancer. We prayed, we fought as a family, we did our best to trust God, we leaned into him and the support he put around us. We fought for Homer, we prayed and held on to hope that God was calling us to come down here. It was the hardest year of my life, to be honest with you. I wanted to quit. Honestly, I wanted to give up on this place. My wife and my family needed me. We knew God had called us to be witnesses of everything we had seen, everything we had experienced that he had done. We didn't do it perfect, but we did our best to lay down our lives for him every day. Looking back, I wouldn't change a thing. My wife beat cancer. We did it. We got across the finish line down here, and I was just out at our home on Friday, and we had three guys testify and give a witness that they'd given their lives to Jesus as a result of being in that home. I spent Friday evening at our fundraiser, many of you were there, with Adam and his beautiful daughter. And he stood up on the stage and he said, "I declare today that the enemy's not going to win because Jesus is victorious." Adam was worth it. Homer is worth it. The people here in darkness are worth it. And most of all, Jesus is worth it. He didn't empower you to be in business so that you could give your money to the church. Of course we do that. If you're in business, that is your mission field. If you're in the medical field, that is your mission field. If you're a healer, as you go, wherever he's called you, bring his kingdom, the righteousness, peace, and joy that it brings. Go in the knowledge that he is good, loving, and kind, and he will go out of his way to save the lost. Go with the confidence that he has the power and the authority to make it happen. Receive of the freedom that he has for you. Sit at his feet. Allow him to fill you and follow him as you pour out so that you can be a witness, testifying of everything that you have seen and heard. The fields are ripe for harvest, not just out there, but here in Homer, Alaska. God bless you.
Oh, man. God is good. I'm telling you, if you're here this morning and that's not been your current experience, it is no less true. God is good, and he's after you. Hey, it would be a victory of the enemy if you said, in response to what you feel the Lord calling you to this morning, that you would say, I'll deal with that later. I would go after it. Whatever the Lord has put on your heart this morning to say yes to, say yes and go for it. We're a little bit late. I'm going to get you out of here and grab your kids. We don't officially end until 12:30. If you can stick around, say hi to some people, help us pick up chairs. That's a huge blessing to our team. Otherwise, God bless you. May he keep you. May his peace be upon you. Have a great week.